everyone. It's Dr. Denise, and this is the Creative Minds series of the Dr. Denise Show, and I'm so excited. In fact, we've already been having like a blast, right?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, please. So I have Girly and Sunette here from the award-winning The White Line. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So we were just laughing like little girls having fun with cultural awareness. And wait, can you guys both let me know? Like, I'm in Manhattan Beach, California. It's morning time. Mm-hmm. So can you let everyone know where you are in the world right now?
I'm in Windhoek. Yeah, I'm in Windhoek and it is 7:42 p.m. in Namibia.
Nice.
And I'm with Girly in Windhoek. Not together, but also in Windhoek. So, yeah.
Yay! Well, so first of all, I believe that there are no coincidences. And I feel so happy. You guys are going to love this. You know, when we're coming out of the pandemic and we're starting to do more, the very first movie theater I was in post-pandemic was in Beverly Hills, watching your lovely film and meeting Desiree.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. And
you were meant to be there. You were meant to be there. You were meant to meet. Yeah.
Yes.
You were meant to watch the movie.
I want to give a shout out to Chris Gordon of Media Source mm-hmm. Entertainment, because he was holding the Q&A in Beverly Hills and he invited me. And I just really respect his mind. He's been a guest on the show. And I just want to say, I know this is audio, but I'm like smiling through the mic because I could not have imagined when you kind of, maybe we can talk about creativity and vision. And back in 2015, before I launched my Dr. Denise brand, like the producing, hosting part of who I am in the universe, I wrote a spiritual mission statement. I still have it written. I actually hand wrote it and put it in a frame, and it was love of all kind. And it was capitalized A-L-L-K-I-N-D. And I asked my version of higher source, God, the angels, the ascended masters, I include all living world religions and love to please connect me with other light beings. No matter, I didn't hold back. I didn't even hold back from this universe. I said, please, on this journey, help me to attract love and light and pure messages. So what a celebration for me, because I'm a single mom. I'm a doctor. I've been doing all telehealth. For me to go out of my comfort zone to go to the movie for the first time, to have it be The White Line, it could not have been more of like a celebration, because that movie's all about love. So I just wanted to give you guys some foundation of how special. And I want to dive into who you are, but I just want to give you like that elevated thank you for being a part of this movie, this love, and just thank you for being here today.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Dr. Denise. No.
Sorry, Girly.
I don't know what to say. No, go ahead, Sunette.
I don't,
go ahead.
It's the thing. You took the words out of my mouth now. It's like I'm almost speechless. Thank you, Denise.
Oh, well, so a couple things. And maybe I know for me, it's easier to talk about other people than myself. So let's just give a shout out to Desiree.
Yes.
I just want to give a shout out to Desiree because her light, when I was there, not only watching the film, and I was the very first scenes in the film. And by the way, I want everyone to watch the film, so I don't want to give away too much of the film. But when you start the film and you saw the contrast and the way it was just shot from a director's perspective, with the contrast and the quietness of the different skin tones, but then also the two of you as actresses, the energy that you showed up as girl, you know, as Sylvia, Girly was Sylvia, everyone, and Sunette was Anne-Marie. And the energy frequency that the two of you had to get into emotionally to play those roles and to make this happen, I was like pretty much mind blown, which is why I have you both on because this is the buzz time of this movie. And I was like, I'm getting chills talking about it. The energy of the two of you and the contrast is powerful. So can one of you just share what it was like getting ready to like jump into the Anne-Marie character, jump into Sylvia when you were in filming?
Sure, I think I'll let Sunit go for this.
Thank you, Kelly. It's almost difficult even for me to think back to that time because when we were busy shooting, obviously you have your character, you get into character for the shots, and then after that you get out of character, but only to a certain extent. But the moment I finished shooting, I was almost like wrote Anne-Marie off and just completely detached myself from the character because we are so different. And for obvious reasons, if you've seen the movie, I don't want to be connected to her in any way, shape, or form. So it's almost difficult for me to sometimes think back and remember it in detail. But I'll say the biggest thing for me getting into character was about finding who Anne-Marie was. And then for me, especially, I would have certain gestures or things that I would do with my body. For example, Anne-Marie's posture is much different to mine. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a lazy bum sometimes, and I'm very casual and laid back. So the way I stand and walk is much different to someone like Anne-Marie, who's a bit of a perfectionist. She likes things done a certain way. She cares a lot about what other people think about her. So the way she carries herself is a lot different. So for me, the biggest thing was changing the way I carry myself, and then that helped me just to step into the character of Anne-Marie. And from there on, it was kind of easy. So one thing that you might pick up on in the movie is Anne-Marie has this way of holding her hands, and she would always play with her wedding ring. And that was something that Anne-Marie did. And the moment I did that, it was easy for me to start the thought processes as well, because that was kind of like step two for me, was getting into Anne-Marie's thoughts. Like, what is Anne-Marie thinking when she stands in her kitchen and she sees Sylvia, for example? So for me, it was first getting the posture, getting the body language right, and then going into what Anne-Marie's thoughts were. And then from there on, reacting to Sylvia or the other characters like Jan or Peter or whoever, reacting to them as Anne-Marie and not Sunit.
Pertaining to what Sunit just shared, it was amazing to see her. And literally, it was the most amazing thing to witness how, literally, before we say action and before you, let's say, you have to start shooting a scene, how Sunit, literally, she would push her shoulders back, and then she had this hand gesture that she would do, and then I would know, here's Anne-Marie, it's no more, it's not Sunit anymore, you know what I mean? And all of us knew it. It even became a joke on set, because she was switching in and out of, because it was just amazing how she would switch in and out of this character. Like, she'll shoot a scene and then she walks off the set and she leaves it. She's done. You know what I mean? She's Sunit now. She's not Anne-Marie. So it was just beautiful to witness. And I even said to her, like, I respect how she has that ability and capability to do that now, which is something, obviously, that I've also, in the last couple of the production that I'm currently busy shooting, where I've actually picked up Sunit, I've also learned to leave it. Because that was the one thing.
To leave the character
that
there,
I think,
yeah.
Exactly. Leave the character there when you leave. Yes, it obviously takes you, let's say, a couple of minutes or an hour, whatever, once you get home, for you to actually snap out of, depending on the scene that you were shooting. But I realized I think I needed to protect myself, especially with the movie that I was shooting now, that I literally, and I even said to my partner, Andy, and I said to him, it's amazing. I see the growth in the transition, how I'm able to step in and out of it now, you know, because sometimes it would be a lot. So So, Sunette, honestly, it was just amazing to witness her doing that. It was, yeah, beautiful.
Thanks, Kylie. You're making me blush here.
Well, you should be blushing because I think you're an amazing actress. I honestly enjoyed working with you. I loved working with you because you gave me the same energy. And I think that's exactly the same sentiments I think you and I can share pertaining to the rest of the cast, you know?
Definitely.
You get what you give because that's what acting is. It is banter. It is passing on energy to and fro. So if it's a particular scene and somebody's not giving you what you need, obviously I won't be able to perform. And even if the camera's not on me, you know, like I must still give Sunette what she needs in order for her to truly live out her character.
And I think that's what made it so easy for us to get into character as well, is because I can say the same for Girlie. Like, she made it so easy for me to be fully in the moment because she was in the moment and we could feed off of each other. And that's what made my job much easier.
I love where this is. And I love that it's always interesting from a transmedia perspective when we're just hearing our voices right now. Because I'm listening, Sunette, to your words very carefully. And what came to mind that I think can be applicable universally in acting, but just in also showing up for life, is having an awareness of what your role is in that moment of time. We're multidimensional beings. So when you're taking on the character of, and by the way, I want to, since you said that you experienced the character and then sort of said, I don't want to be Anne-Marie. I want to, since we're on the Anne-Marie character, for everyone listening, The White Line is a love story, but it's a love story that transcends time, space, and matter. So it's in the 1960s during apartheid, and the character of Anne-Marie was very full of vitriol. And the energy, when we're looking at consciousness and movies and impact, the energy and the character, Sunette, that you needed to show up as to really get into that level of energy of hatred. I would say the energy of hatred. And I don't even use those words a lot because I'm a wordsmith and I'm an empath. And I think I have a feeling, you ladies are too.
I'm an empath too.
Yeah. So there's certain words. I love that you're talking about how you needed to have an awareness. I think of myself, like just now, what I did to prepare for this interview is I didn't call any patients back. I didn't look at my emails. I literally just wrote beautiful things on social media. I have a candle lit and I have a coffee here going, yay, I get to meet Girlie and Sunette. So now I'm just, I'm here in this moment showing up for this. So I think when we are talking about how do we show up in awareness for acting, for anything we're doing as a mother, as a friend, as a producer, as a director, as a writer, we have different routines and rituals. We're multisensory beings. So it sounds like you guys have, continued to keep perfecting each of your own. We talked about this before, the show, your own style. So can you guys comment on that? Maybe the empath part or anything you identify with?
Yeah, I think from my perspective and and also realizing, because it's something that I picked up on, when was it? But it was actually a part of who I was, because it's even something that my parents told me as a child. When I was very young, even as a toddler, my mom said, sometimes when some people would want to pick me up, I would just start crying. And there's certain people that I didn't, that I would just, when I see them, I don't want to even say hello to them. Because obviously when people come and visit you at your house, like you all come out and you would greet people. But my parents would realize, they realized very soon in my upbringing that if Girlie is sitting in a corner, just staring at this person, leave her alone. There's a reason why that's happening. And it's obviously not something that I've not tried to explore it, because there's some people that have also said, they feel that I might have some gift of sight where I see certain things. And I've had a few incidents in my life where I would, for example, tell a friend, the one time she came to visit me, and she had to catch a taxi back home, and she stopped on taxi and the cab stopped. But then I told her, don't get into that cab. I don't know why I said that at the time, but literally 10 minutes later, that taxi ended up in a car accident. And we both just looked at each other like, what just happened there? So for me, I'm very sensitive to people's energy. I feel other people's pain, and I'm also cognizant of the fact that sometimes I absorb other people's energy, and energy comes in different forms. And I'm also aware and very alert to the fact that sometimes I have to guard my energy. And if there are people that I feel drain my energy, I take a back seat. I review how I interact with those people, because it obviously affects me on a spiritual, mental, emotional level. So pertaining to the empath perspective, it's like, I think it's aided me in my acting, because I can truly then immerse myself in a character. And what I do from my perspective is I find similarities, and I think it's exactly the same process that Sunit has, where you find similarities in a character that you have as an individual that has to play this character, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think what I could relate to with Sylvia was the fact that in her personal world, she's very stubborn, she's very strong, she's very brave, she's very vocal about how she feels about things. And that is girly, because girly isn't necessarily submissive. You know, and girly's also slightly the defender of the underdog. So even that scene where
oh my goodness, Sylvia, I'm getting comes like home, avatar party. I'm thinking in the future of like a fun party where we all dress up as our own superhero for love.
Yes,
to keep going.
yes. That scene where Sylvia comes home and she's telling Jacopine about her day where this woman was obviously assaulted because she didn't have a passbook, for example. Those are things that I can relate to, because girly as a person, I'm not going to stand by and let anybody treat anybody else a way that I don't want to be treated. Because the one thing growing up, I was taught, my mom always said, treat people the way you want to be treated. Regardless of if it's the cleaner, if it's the person that's cleaning the streets, if it's the person that is cleaning your trailer, if it's the person that's giving you food, you say thank you and please, and you look them in the eye when you talk to them, because you are present and you respect that other person for the role that they're playing to ensure that you're able to do what you need to do. I feel like I've kind of gone off the tangent now.
Oh, no, you're perfect.
But it's interesting, so keep going.
No, well, actually, I just want to validate the process of staying in integrity. I like to come up with words that are fun. So, like, I call it the in-in. When you're in integrity of your own self-love and you're in your own in-in of integrity towards others. And understanding that we do all process things, and it's so fun and exciting for me as an intuitive. I have my Western medicine training, but I have clear knowing, clear seeing. And my specific example, just to tag off yours, is during the pandemic, I got one of my patients' names 3 times. So I get things in different ways. And so once I got it in 3 times, I called the person, and I don't want to say too much, but they were at the point of taking something that would not allow them to stay on the planet. And luckily, I was 6 blocks away from their home. It was during COVID. I made a house visit. Pure love of combination of all the gifts that I have to help someone to make that emotional decision. And I channel ideas in my sleep, in my swims, in my coffees. I was like, I'm just here. Like when I light my candle and I'm like, okay, this is exciting. I get to meet these 2 amazing souls. So just to kind of like, I think what we're talking about, and we can relate it back to the film or acting for each of you, is how do we stay in flow with our creativity? Yeah. And how do we stay in flow in our mental, physical, and spiritual health in whatever we're doing? So I think we each have our flow path.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think also,
I was going to say, and I think Sylvia's path was, how did she stay? Okay, go ahead. I love laughing. We're like, okay, Sylvia and Adrian, now you guys are done. The characters are done. I got to remember because I just saw the film. So I'm like, okay, girly and Sunette. So go ahead.
Yeah. No, I think also from my perspective is I start disassociating who Girly is to the character in my prep time to become the character before I shoot. So, for example, I start at least with Sylvia in this regard. That was my process. I removed my nail polish. I cut my nails. I stopped dressing the way Girly dressed. Because I'm an empath, I'm also, which is strange, I'm actually a higher percentage more introvert than I'm extrovert, according to the MBTI personality test. So I am kind of a person that enjoys time with myself also. So I literally make time to just be with myself and the character where I don't see people, and I'm okay with doing that. You know, sometimes I don't see people for a week, or I don't leave the house for a week. I'm okay with that. That doesn't ever bother me. So that is, it becomes a private moment with self, with me. And I allow myself that time to also have those difficult conversations with myself, pertaining to, let's say, if there are certain discomforts in what a character has to do. Obviously the fact that I'm uncomfortable with that, that isn't necessarily the character, that's Girly. So then I ask myself, what is this actually about? You know? So then you also have to kind of delve into those things that we suppress as human beings or as people because of the world that we now live in. And I obviously also make it a point to inform people that are in my life, like my boyfriend, like, listen, these are the things that might happen. Sometimes I might lash out at you. This actually has nothing to do with you per se, because I was slightly stuck in character after we wrapped The White Line. Like a month after that, I was standing in the kitchen making myself tea in the morning. And my boyfriend said, oh, are you making yourself tea? Can you also make me a cup of tea? And I just lashed out and I said to him, like, I'm so tired of you white people. And I just went on this whole tangent of saying things that I obviously couldn't say to Annemarie, or I couldn't say to Jan, or I couldn't say to the shopkeeper, or I couldn't. So I said it all in that moment, but also in that time, he recognized, because I obviously spoke to him about it prior to that, where he was just quiet. He didn't react. So he let me say what I needed to say. And then afterwards, when I was done, I walked up to the bathroom, to the toilet and to the loo. And I just started crying. I realized what happened and I came back and I apologized. And I said, sorry, this wasn't actually about you. It's about me. I am still leaving Sylvia. She's still not completely left me. So I'm trying to shed her still. So sorry. And thank you for being patient and thank you for understanding.
You just unpacked so much that's like universal for all of us. So a couple of things on a lighter, fun note. Can you imagine if they had a little app for actresses where you're like, on a scale of 4 to 4, I'm still in character. Please don't talk to me today.
But here's the thing, Dr. Denise. It's not like you know that you're still in character. Like you've got triggers. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes. No. I wanted to, that's my playful way of going in deeper now. So my process is lighten it up because I do this professional patients, but also what I'm also getting though, that I want to go deep on, because this movie, The White Line, and discussing race, discussing gender, ancestral healing, all kinds of different levels of the human condition that, you know, transcend the 1960s time this was filmed. So can I ask you this really precise question? I mean, what percentage was Sylvia, but do you think that there's any percentage of ancestral trauma? Hello? Because if we're multidimensional, are you there?
I can still hear you, girly.
I can. Can you guys hear me?
Hello.
So I think it's really interesting that the show sort of dropped. You know, we lost connection at, I think, such a profound moment. We were talking about going in and out of character. It's almost like there was this like unseen energy of a pause. And I just was asking a very kind of deep question about, you know, the way I understand the universe is we're here, but then we're connected to our ancestors, to our DNA, to our soul. So when you're connecting to a character, you know, I'm wondering if there's anything. Oh no, you can't hear me.
We can.
Oh, Sunette says she can't hear me.
Oh.
Can you, girly, you can hear me?
I can hear you.
Interesting. Okay.
That's so weird.
It is interesting. It is interesting. Usually this does not happen with Zencastr. So what I'm wondering what we should do. So first of all, I want to finish this thought if it's okay, because Girly just shared this profound moment of being in character and snapping at your boyfriend. So my specific question to you is, did you identify with any of, have you ever experienced in this lifetime that level of hatred from someone where it wasn't just Sylvia's character, but it's stuff that reminded you of something or ancestral stuff? And by the way, we want Sunette to come back on, but I just want to make sure I get this point across.
Yeah. I think in this regard is because my boyfriend is Caucasian. So in my head, in terms of why I lashed out at him was because of his skin color to a certain degree. It was a reminder, it was a trigger. And just in that moment, because also if you look at the scene of where Jan is telling me, go make my coffee, you know, like, move your ass, go make my coffee. So somehow, not that my boyfriend said that, but it was just a trigger in some weird way because he happens to be Caucasian and I'm Black in this context. So it was that. So it was just a trigger for some weird reason. And I guess in that moment, because I was standing in the kitchen, and obviously that scene plays out in the kitchen, and he asked me to make him tea, you know, which was a normal morning. It's not like we had an argument or anything, woke up, good morning, baby, morning, baby. Are you having a good, great day? You know, then I switch on the kettle. And then just in that moment, that happened. So I think it was with regard to a trigger in terms of this person represents somebody that I couldn't necessarily lash out at in the film, because I'm also the type of person, girly, if I want to talk about things, if I'm not happy about something, I think you can ask my boyfriend, he probably also hates that about me. It's something like, I'm the type of person, I want us to talk it out, you know? Until I have
completely relate, because I'm such an empath, because it's like you have this feeling and it's like you have to leave the feeling. I call it my linears or my earth things, like getting dressed, eating. And then I call, so the linears and non-linears. So it's like the karmic burners. I want to be okay emotionally with that person so that I can move
on.
Cause I because you feel off
balance. Yeah. And you feel off balance because like literally Dr. Denise, it's when I am not okay about something, I feel this knot in my chest, my stomach, that like anxiety that is blocked, that I needed to leave my body because it's also crippling. Like I start feeling ill, all of these things happen. So I know it's poison for me, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is such an important point. And we also, I think what's really interesting now is we're being flexible within the show. We are having some technical difficulties where you and I are here and we wanted to finish this point, but we have lovely Sunette, but this is such an important point. So let's see, let's just ask, are you able to get on And then maybe what we can, we'll be flexible, because this is so important. This is about emotions. This is about the possibility of knowing who we are on and off camera. And I sometimes look at my life as the movie. If that's even, I want to talk about
Jeez,
that too.
I do that.
I have the cutest outfit kind of plays on today out for like you. A movie. Yeah, you haven't even seen me. I have the cutest outfit. I have like go-go boots. It's like fashion.
Oh, wow.
I have my mala beads on. I double dipped in malas. I was like, I'm going for it. I'm get to meet these lovely ladies. So I
girl got all dressed up.
Yeah, in a frame, even though we're not on camera. Because that gave me this excitement of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're asking, is Sunette able to get on? I wonder if...
What if you were to leave the group and then log back
in? It could be her internet. Yeah, tell her to try log back on and we'll keep talking. Log in and out. And out. Okay, so why don't you and I flow with this? And I know if I were Desiree, I want to kind of, you know how we say we're going in and out of character, and the two of you have like said goodbye to those characters, but now the movie's like getting all the buzz, right?
Yeah.
So I just want to say and elevate that I believe you, and the reason why all the acting was fantastic, but the dyad of the way you were complimenting each other as Girly and Sunette. The dyad between Sylvia and Anne-Marie, the energy, vibrational frequency of the vitriol and hate that Anne-Marie needed to show up as in character was then able to activate the Sylvia. So then you guys fed off each other in divine resonance that was so powerful. I'm getting even absolute chills talking about it.
Yes. No, I think we really enjoyed, or at least I'm not going to speak for Sunette. I honestly enjoyed working with Sunette. It was just, you know, like when you're looking at somebody, even when you're not on camera and you're seeing them give their all and you're seeing them in a light that you've not seen them in a particular scene where this person is bearing themselves, like their vulnerability. You can see it, and obviously as actors, because I know Sunette is not.
Wait, time out. I'm getting tears. They're tears of respect. I'm feeling the level of love. That you're giving towards Sunette in this moment of remembering her performance and her energy and her soul and what she gave to the Anne-Marie character.
Yeah, because she's not Anne-Marie. Sunette is the most loving, empathetic, kind, caring person I've ever met. So to see her have to, no really, babe, like to see you.
I'm not getting tears. I need like a tissue. I need coffees. I need,
do you know what I mean? Because to see her become this evil person and to witness her giving this character life to the point that it inspired my character to do what it needed to do, and vice versa for me. There was this non-spoken, non-verbal agreement of Sunette, Girly, we're doing this. And we're going in 150%. And I know you've got my back.